Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. The only person you need in the morning other than your spouse. Here's Jeff Blair.
You know how you can tell when it's been a good night for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Besides, they actually collect a point or two. It's been a good night when Randy Carlyle can come out after the game and hammer on about a specific part of the game and not have to address, you know, the bigger picture. Questions about the team's psyche, preparation, compete level, all those things. The Leafs picked up a richly deserved point Wednesday night in a 4-3 overtime loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins, a game in which they spotted Sidney Crosby and co. two-goal lead. Afterward, Carlyle's concern was chiefly about his power play. 18th in the league now at 18.5%, and in the middle of a 1-for-23 funk after last night's 0-for-3, and frankly subject to wholesale tinkering with the second unit, which has totaled 7 points in a scene Nazem Kadri punted after going pointless through the team's first 21 games. Yet, Carlyle must surely realize that the return of Joffrey Leupel and the addition of David Booth will help his special teams, in particular, the power play. So it was interesting and kind of refreshing to have the head coach be able to focus in on one particular part of his team. He had reason to be happy overall, and he has reason to be happy overall in these past three games. The Leafs have cut down opponent shots on goal, an average of 27 over these past three games. That from a team that's been allowing 33 a game throughout the season. And last night, I thought they played maybe two of their most defensively responsible periods of the year against a team that has at times been able to carve them open. True, Carlyle's still talking about the need to play harder in the power play, which sounds extremely vague given something as detailed as playing with a manpower advantage. But again, it gets back to my original point. When Carlyle can focus on one particular aspect of the game, especially in a night when he went against the numbers and started Jonathan Bernier in goal over James Reimer, you have to consider it progress. So here's today's question. What do you think has been the biggest difference in the Leafs' play these past three games? Is it Jonathan Bernier? Is it Nazem Kadri's new line mate? The lower shots on goal? Maybe it's Salutgate. This is where you get to have your say.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
We'll have plenty of Raptors talk in the second hour. The Toronto Raptors 13-2 after yet another professional win over the Atlanta Hawks. Just a professional approach, clutch shots, good decision making at important times of the game. It's a real professional win for this team. It's a great 13-2 start. And there are people I know who are going to say, well, easy schedule, a lot of home games. But I keep getting back to the point we made yesterday and the point John Schumann kind of reiterated in our discussion. And keep in mind that we still have not seen the best of DeMar DeRozan, Terrence Ross, and Jonas Valanciunas. Maybe a little bit of Valanciunas 2 games ago, but not on a consistent basis. And, last night's win was a win that I'm not entirely certain the Raptors get last year. So we'll have lots of Raptors talk. Chris Johnson will join us. He is, of course, our NHL insider. Jordan Heath Rawlings, deputy editor of Sportsnet Magazine, will join us in studio. We want to talk about Robert Griffin III and what is going on in Washington. And then Jesse Sanchez, national baseball writer for MLB.com. He broke the story yesterday about the Arizona Diamondbacks signing Yasmani Thomas. And my sense is that's really good news for the Toronto Blue Jays when it comes to their attempt to re-sign Melky Cabrera, and I'll explain that to you in the 11 o'clock hour. We've also got a pair of tickets to give away to the Buffalo Bills-Cleveland Browns game this Sunday, a game with playoff implications after the Bills win over the New York Jets Monday night in Detroit. A Bills win over Cleveland leaves them 7-5, the same as the Browns. Tough schedule for the Bills. The road is not easy, but at least it puts the Bills in the playoff picture. We'll have a couple of tickets to give away to that game and also a couple of passes to the Rogers Tap House as well. So you'll be able to go down, have some food, have some drink, hear some music, and get yourself ready for the game. Not only do we provide the tickets, we provide the tailgating. All you have to do is get your ass across the border down to Buffalo. Before we deal with those topics, want to talk about the Leafs. 4-3 overtime losers to the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. A strong showing for the Leafs. The final two periods, I thought, were tremendous. And I thought maybe two of the most defensively responsible periods I've seen from this team in a long, long time. The shots and goal were cut down. Almost every defense pairing played really well. Corbinian Holzer had a good game. It was a really, I'll tell you, it was a 4-3 overtime loss, but in a lot of ways, the final 40 minutes of that game, it might be some of the finest 40 minutes of hockey the Leafs have played this year. So we'll deal with that. Got a lot of issues to look at around the league as well. Renaud Lavoie of TVS Sports is our regular Thursday insider. And Renaud Lavoie joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Mr. Lavoie.
Good morning, Mr. Jeff Blair.
So let's talk a little bit about the Leafs right out of the gate. They lost to the Penguins last night, played pretty well, certainly over the final 40 minutes. Kind of an interesting subtext to this story in that Randy Carlyle went with Jonathan Bernier in goal, third consecutive start. It wasn't a third straight win. They did get a point after the game going in overtime. But he went with Bernier over James Reimer, who is 4-0-2 in his career against the Penguins and has had some pretty good games against Pittsburgh. Is this, to your mind, an indication now that the Leafs, even if they haven't said it, have settled on Jonathan Bernier as their number one guy?
That's kind of my understanding, Jeff. The thing is, there was a little change, a little tweak in the way the Leafs were doing their things since the start of the season, and let's put it the last season too. For the first time, I think Jonathan Bernier's got a schedule in front of him, and he knows exactly what game he'll be on and what game he won't be. So that's for him a huge difference. Obviously, all the teams that they have a real number one goaltender, those number one goaltenders, normally they get a schedule of when they're going to play, mm-hmm. when they are not going to play. So now that's the case right now with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that explained to me why Jonathan was there for a third game in a row. Obviously, the game versus the Predators was not a good game for him, but doesn't mean that, you know, he was done after that game. He really bounced back pretty well right after. Two big wins at the ACC. I know last night it's a loss. It's a loss versus one of the best team in the NHL. It's a team that's getting healthy in a way. I know there's a couple of good players that weren't there. Pascal Dupuis wasn't there. But anyway, it's tough to beat the Penguins at home. So I like the fact that they were able to get back from a 2-0. In the first period, was not going their way. 2-0 for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They battled back, and they were close to win that game. So, in a way, it was great. And you know what? I really like the play of the captain of that team, Dion Phaneuf. He was a horse. I know you look at what in the last goal, so that goal in overtime, he was the one battling with Sidney Crosby, but he did a great job there, pushing into the board. Obviously, that was a shot from the outside, if we can put it that way, but Crosby went back in front of that. But I like the way the team played all around after the first period.
One of the criticisms you hear of Jonathan Bernier, Reno, and you heard it again last night during the game on that winning goal on Blake Komo's third goal, yeah. Was he still has a tendency at times to play a little too deep in the net. He gets beaten on the glove side an awful lot. But he also has a tendency to play a little too deep in the net. Is that something he's always, you know, something he's always had to overcome? Is that just part of his game that he has to consistently work on?
You know, the the league is a trend in a way. And the trend right now in the NHL is to have a goaltender deep in his net.
Okay.
It started with Lundqvist with the Rangers. After that went to Jonathan Quick. You look at what's going on in Chicago, that's exactly the way they teach to be deep in the net. And Carey Price is a little bit more like that right now with Stephen Waite as the goalie coach. That's the trend, and I'm pretty sure that Toronto Maple Leafs are working with the trend right now. Listen, there's one thing that I like. You're never going to see Jonathan off the blue paint.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to be out of the blue paint. That's perfect. This is basic goaltending right now in 2010 plus. You need to stay in your blue paint, but the second you're out, you're done. And he's staying there. Obviously, he's deep. I think there's some adjustment in his game. He's still working at it. But you know what? He's young. It's his second year as a number one goaltender in the league only. He's working on it. But the day, Jeff, it's going to click, I'm pretty convinced that I'm pretty sure the fans will notice something different. And Carey Price is a little bit like that. There was a day in his game, Carey Price, he was different, more calm. There was a lot of calmness in front of his net. He was square. That's what you need to see with Jonathan. I think he is at times. And he's working hard on it. He's a hard worker. He's confident in his game. I see a lot of good things with Jonathan. Just need to be patient because perfection, I don't think, exists right now.
Renaud Lavoie of TVS Sports joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Sidney Crosby got two assists. He's the sixth fastest player to 800 points.
Yeah.
Gretzky, Lemieux, Bossy, Peter Stastny, and Jari Kurri. Got to ask you, Rena, how many points would this guy have if it wasn't for that sort of the interruption caused by his concussion?
Well, that's a great question. I know one thing. You look at all the names that you just said, and they battled through injuries. They didn't battle through concussions, maybe like Sidney did, and that's a huge difference. Sidney is a battler, one of the best player in the league because somebody on his team, I don't want to put his name out there because it was a private conversation, but said to me, he's the best grinder ever in the NHL. And that's what it is. He's not only finesse, he's not only skills. Look at, and I'm going to just go back to what he did on the last goal.
Right.
He was battling versus a huge guy in front of him, Dion Phaneuf. He fumbled on the ice, but you know what? He was able just to tip the puck a little bit to make sure the puck will go back to the blue line. And he went right away in front of the net, almost hit that puck. You know what? That's what he is. And it's not all those skills players that were able to play that way. I think he deserves one day to have a trophy for the best defensive forward in the game. I don't understand why he didn't get it, because the Selke trophy at one time, he needs to be mentioned. He's so good in his zone. But because he is who he is, nobody's talking about that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He thinks, he's not going to say it on record, but he thinks his name should be out there. And you know what? I think it's totally right. He deserves to be in those discussions because it's not only what he's doing offensively, it's what he's doing defensively. And since 2 years ago, a player told me that he's the best grinder ever to play the game, I looked at his game a little bit more, what he's doing defensively, and I said to myself, my God, it's totally right, totally right. That's why he is. But everybody thinks he's just skills. It's not true.
Of course, the other story yesterday, a lot of people are following Martin Brodeur trying out with the St. Louis Blues. Brian Elliott is out for a while. Jake Allen will probably be the acknowledged number one. Do you think this is a good fit for Marty? I mean, I do, and I was making the point that you look around the Western Conference right now, there are so many good teams, there are so many good forwards, there's so many good defensemen. by and large, everybody is loaded in that conference. Last year, the St. Louis Blues, I think, ran into an issue in the playoffs because I don't think Ryan Miller was that good. I think they got out goaltended at times down the stretch and in the playoffs. Now, I know Marty's 42. He hasn't played. He's clearly not the same goaltender he was 20 years ago or 15 years ago. But I think Marty Brodeur and the cachet he has, I think this is almost the perfect fit for him, don't you?
Yeah, totally right. You know what? It almost happened last year that he was traded to the St. Louis Blues during, I'll say, after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen. I think the Blues had other plans, and they knew already that a guy like Ryan Miller will be available and will accept to be traded to St. Louis. So that's why it didn't happen. That being said, they should have stuck with Yaroslav Halak. But anyway, now you see Martin Brodeur's coming in. Martin is not going to go there trying to be the number one goaltender, I'm telling you. I know right now that the problem that a lot of teams had with Martin, they were just scared of him. Scared of him coming in, mixing up the chemistry in the dressing room. But what I like with the St. Louis Blues, first of all, they know Martin Brodeur. Obviously, the management knows pretty well who he is. He was their goaltender for Team Canada, so there's no surprise there. And the Blues, I think, understand one thing. The window to win that Stanley Cup is there. You need to be proactive. And you know what? You need to bring a presence in your dressing room, a guy that know exactly what to do when you have those big wins to get. And that's Martin Brodeur. I'm not saying he's going to be involved in the net. Maybe he's not going to play that game. But his presence, the fact that he's going to have some tips, he's going to make sure that everybody's loose, that presence is key and really important. And that's exactly what Martin wants to bring. Obviously, he wants to win those 12 games to get to another level. I think it's his 800 win, something mm-hmm. like that. So that's what he wants, obviously. But that's not the main goal. The main goal is to go with a team, bring a lot of leadership, make sure that everybody is on the same page, and he's not going to try to shake things up. He's just going to go there, and he wants to win another Stanley Cup, and he wants to be involved in a team that's got the chance to win another Stanley Cup, and I think the St. Louis Blues are, for him, the perfect fit.
Hey, Ren, one of the stories that came out on the weekend, and actually Elliot Friedman also referred to it as well, a lot of people focusing on the Edmonton Oilers right now, a lot of people expecting the Oilers to start making some moves. David Perron's name factoring pretty significantly right out of the gate. He's been connected with the Montreal Canadiens. Do you see a fit between those two teams, and do you see David Perron being the type of player that could help the Canadiens?
Obviously, David Perron can win any team, I think, in the NHL. I really like that player. I know you're going to say to me, hey, he's got only two goals. I don't care. I don't care because that player is involved. That player wants to win every night. I've been to his place in St. Louis, and Jeff, there's in his basement a net and plenty of pucks. And when he thinks his hands are not loose, he's shooting 1,000 pucks. He doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be the best, and he wants the team to win. So right now, it's not going well with the Oilers and right now. But you know what? What's mind-boggling is a year ago, just go back to the reports on Sportsnet and the papers, and everybody was saying, "What a great leader that we're having right now!
Mm-hmm.
What a great guy! He's putting his face in places around the ice that where nobody wants to go. He's the one doing it." And a year after, he's gone. He's not a good player. We need to trade that guy. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Hello? You really want to trade that guy? So, yes, David Perron could be a good fit, I'll say, anywhere in the league. Is it going to be Montreal? I am not convinced because, you know, how rumor starts. His name is connected with Lars Seller, could be connected to David Desjardins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced because the chemistry of the Montreal inside this dressing room is great right now, and I'm not saying David's going to change that chemistry, but I mean, something needs to happen before I think that trade with David in Montreal happens. I look at all the lines. Maybe there's a chance on the third line. There's a spot as a winger. But okay, let's say you trade Eller or Desharnais. What's gonna happen with your center line?
Right.
I am not convinced Galchenyuk is a center. Not convinced at all. I think he's a winger. So, and in the minors, there's not a lot of good centermen that can take that spot right off the bat. So, I don't know. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced David Perron could be a good fit in Montreal as we speak, because it's going to change a lot of things. So maybe if another trade happens, maybe it's a possibility, but I don't see it as we speak.
Yeah, and I guess if you're the Montreal Canadiens, Reno, you ask yourself, if you make that move and you give up that center, I mean, on balance, you're basically creating another hole. It's almost, if you make that move, you've almost got to make another move to fill it. To fill the hole it's created, and that does not appear. Marc Bergevin does not appear to be that type of general manager.
Well, he moved a lot of players. Let's say in the last year, There's a lot of trades. It's quite surprising what he was able to do. But at one point, you need to settle. You need to settle. I'm not saying that he's going to stop doing trades. Maybe there's going to be another surprise in the next few weeks or next few days. I don't know. But there's one thing for sure. You can change a lot of bodies in your dressing room, but there's certain players that needs to stay. Mm-hmm. I feel like David Desharnais needs to stay with the Canadiens. He's not the tallest guy, but he's showing up every night, and he's good to Max Pacioretty. That there's the key right there. And I'm not saying Max is not going to score goals if David Desharnais is not there. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's a perfect fit. Why change that? And after that, Lars Eller, there was a lot of question marks. But with Jiří Sakac coming in instead of René Bourque, look at what's going on with that line. It explodes. So why, if you have your answers, don't push it. Maybe around the trading deadline, go find another player, but I think it's going to be more rental than a player that's going to stick around for a few years.
Reno, always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this.
All right, Jeff. Have a nice weekend, my friend.
You too. That is Reno Lavoie of TVS Sports, our Thursday NHL insider, one of the very best. You got to follow him on Twitter, at Ren Lavoie TVS. In the past 2 years, he's become a must-follow. Breaks a lot of stories. And got a lot of contacts, man. He's got an awful lot of contacts. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Interesting take from Reno Lavoie on David Perron. I'm kind of the same opinion. If I'm the Edmonton Oilers, unless there's something in that dressing room we don't know about, if I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I'm hanging on to David Perron, and I'm moving one of those other young players. The Oilers at some point are going to have to cross the Rubicon and move one of those young guys. They just are. And I don't think David Perron is going to get them something that's necessarily going to make them dramatically different. At some point, they're going to have to move one of those young players, and not necessarily for futures. They have to get some established NHL players in return. To me, it makes no sense. When you're the Edmonton Oilers and you're looking for established NHL players with a bit of a pedigree, to me, it makes no sense to trade a guy who's an established NHL player with a bit of a pedigree in David Perron. It just makes no sense. Move one of your younger guys. Move an Eberle. Don't move a guy like David Perron. Again, unless there's something going on in that dressing room that we don't know about, unless somebody's unhappy, somebody's requested a trade, whatever. If that's not the case, and I think the Oilers, frankly, if you move David Perron, what you're doing is you're essentially addressing a side issue, and you're avoiding addressing the big issues about your team, which is no way to go about doing it. So let's talk about the Leafs after last night's 4-3 overtime loss. the Pittsburgh Penguins. I know there are going to be people out there saying, I can't believe you guys are so positive about an overtime loss. Well, it's not a matter about being positive, but it's a matter of actually watching the game and liking what we saw out of a Leafs team that often gets just carved open by Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh-Toronto games quite often turn into a track meet. And I thought last night the Leafs were really defensively responsible in the final 40 minutes against a really good team on its home ice. So, yeah, I'm looking at that as a plus. Yeah, I don't have any problem saying I think that's a plus. Would it have been better if they'd won the game? Of course it would have been better if they'd won the game. But I think down the road, that may be viewed as a fairly important point. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Use the hashtag Blair Show if you want to get in on the conversation on Twitter as we ask the question, what do you think has made the biggest difference in this team for the past three games? They've beaten Tampa. They've beaten Detroit. And they've lost in overtime, but they got a point against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Jonathan Bernier has been in goal for all three of those games. You heard Renaud Lavoie say, and you know, Renaud Lavoie knows Jonathan Bernier very well and keeps in touch with him, that Jonathan Bernier has been given a schedule by the Leafs of games he's going to play. That's what, just like any other number one goalie, this is when you're going to be playing. So if that's the case, that would indicate that the Leafs have very quietly deemed Jonathan Bernier to be the number one guy. And we've gone back and forth on the goaltending all along. We'll continue to do that. You know that. All it's going to take is one bad game from Jonathan Bernier and the storyline is going to come out. So you have three pretty good games for the Leafs. And you know what? And I'll throw this out there as well. I had someone on Twitter last week, and it was just after Salute Gate. It was the day after. And someone on Twitter, and I wish I'd saved the tweet because it was really good. Someone said, whatever happened to all those delusional Leafs fans? You know, that got me thinking. I've done this show now for 4 years, and we used to laugh at the start of the show. We used to have mouth breather radio, we'd call it, right? Right out of the gate. Anytime we were talking Leafs, throw open the phone lines, give the numbers, say Leafs, and here they come. You know, the Leafs are going to do this, the Leafs are going to do that. And people would overreact one way or another. They'd live and die with every shift, yada, yada. Something's happened over the past 3 years. And it's not just in this show, but it's in other shows. And this person's point was, where are those people? Have the Leafs finally beaten the delusions out of people? It was an interesting point on one I hadn't thought of. And the reason I'm bringing that up right now is when we have questions like this, when we talk about things like this, continue to be surprised at how you don't get people who call up and say, Leo Komarov's the best player the Leafs have ever had, or he's the next Doug Gilmore, he's the next Wendell Clark. I mean, you don't get that hyperbole from Leafs fans you used to get. You get a lot of passion. You get a lot of opinion. But you don't have that sense of delusion you used to get. It was an interesting tweet and one that really got me thinking. So we're going to hold this discussion in that context, knowing full well that people are going to be emotional about the Leafs. People care about the Leafs. But I was just throwing that out there because I thought it was an interesting, and it was from a regular listener. And it really got me thinking. He's right. The Leafs, I think, have pounded the delusion out of their fan base. Like, if the Leafs lose the next four games, people are going to be pissed off. People are going to want Randy Carlyle fired for the 19th time in the past two seasons. But I don't think they'll be surprised. The Toronto Maple Leafs have managed to do something a lot of people never thought they'd be able to do. They've beaten the delusions out of their fan base. So we can have a conversation like this. We can have a conversation that has a positive tone after a 4-3 loss in overtime. Bradley in Burlington You're on the Jeff Blair Show. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's the biggest difference in these past three games?
Good morning, Jeff.
Howdy.
Jeff, I suppose there's a couple of points I want to make, and I'd like your take on it. First and foremost, your question, what's been the biggest difference? And I was his biggest critic last year, Cody Franson. He seems to believe that he is 6'4", 220 pounds, and a right-handed shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't seem to believe it last year. And the Leafs are in a bit of a predicament, and Dave Nunes is, because here we have a right-handed shot who's playing well, who we've signed again to another one-year deal. And the market is totally in Cody Franson's favor. And if you look, if they're not going to sign him, who are they going to get to replace him? Because I think he's bought better play out of Dion Phaneuf.
You sound like Doug McLean. This was Doug McLean's point last night on Wiser to the Point. No, and I mean that. It was, yeah, and I'm not saying that.
I just think he's had a better year. There's some leadership issues, but anytime you have a team, you've got to pick your horses and you've got to let them run. But Bernier's been good because he's been allowed to run. There's some questions about Carlisle. I read in the media that when whoever the starter is between Reimer and Bernier, the guy who is starting has to go and tell the other that he's starting. It's a very old-fashioned style and one I think's a little dormant now, but there's some questions about that. But I think you've got to let Carlisle run, let Bernier run, and someone like Cody Franson is in a good position come free agency because I think he's going to get paid and he should get paid because there's no one there to replace him.
Bradley, I appreciate the call. I will say this. I have no problem with the Leafs not locking him up to long term, because at the end of last year, you know, even though some of the analytics might have favored Cody Franson, I think they did. I don't know for certain, but even though some of the analytics may have favored Cody Franson in a lot of ways, I didn't see enough from him that I would commit to a long term contract. But as McLean and Darren Pang got into it last night on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, I think it was the Wiser to the Point segment, they got into it about Cody Franson. And got me thinking. I think McLean may be right. Cody Franson has flaws, but if you don't bring him back, who else is out there that you're going to replace him with? And he has played well in the past three games, and I would argue that maybe he's been their best defenseman for about the past 3 weeks. We just haven't really noticed that because of all the stuff going on. Time is it? You know what time it is?
The Leafs played last night, so you know what that means.
I know you've been waiting for this. Here we go. Hey, Mr. Dangle, what up?
Pity point.
The hell's a pity point?
Pity point. What, Jeff, you don't like my new chance?
No, I don't like your new chance.
No, you can't be bummed about the overtime loss.
I'm not bummed about it.
Because 1 point against the Penguins is as good as two. It just doesn't show up in the standings. It's a new analytic that I just came up with. Trust me, it works. Let's talk about the Penguins. Let's talk about the reason.
I don't like this new analytics.
Three or four reasons. Let's go with four. One, Evgeny Malkin. Absolute monster.
Beast.
Generational talent.
Yep.
Two, Blake Como with the hat trick. Obviously, second career. Why not? Has to happen against the Leafs, doesn't it?
No.
Three,
course.
Sidney Crosby's butt.
The man.
You want to talk about a guy who never skips leg day? Go watch the overtime goal again. Dion Phaneuf takes him into the corner. I thought Phaneuf actually had a pretty good game. He was playing Malkin hard. He was playing Sid hard. And then on the overtime goal, crushes Sid into the corner. With Phaneuf on top of him, Sid basically does a deadlift to get him off and then crashes the front of the net, helping with the screen. The guy is an absolute monster. But then, number four,
butt, right?
The reason the Leafs lost.
What?
Leo Komarov.
What? He played great.
No. I know he had two goals.
He's tremendous. He's been their best forward.
Listen, heading into the game, the Leafs were undefeated in games where Komarov scored a goal.
Right. Well.
No, Jeff, didn't you hear that? Didn't you hear it? When Komarov scores a goal, he scored two. He scored too many goals. That's why the Leafs lost. It's all Komarov.
That's insane. What the hell is he talking about? He's criticizing a guy because he scored too many goals. What the hell? That's Steve Dangle. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a YouTube sensation. He's got a video in Sportsnet.ca and Daniel Alfredson. You got to take a look at it. I don't know if Darcy Tucker makes a guest appearance in the video, but you got to take a look at his video on appreciating Daniel Alfredson. And that's on Sportsnet.ca right now. You can find Dangle all over all over YouTube as well. And if you look very carefully, maybe he'll do that thing where he kind of walks up the side of the wall, which he still hasn't explained to me how the hell that's done. Anyhow, that's Steve Dangle. You can hear him every morning right here, regardless of whether or not the Leafs win in overtime, lose in overtime, or win in regulation or lose in regulation. You know that Steve Dangle will make an appearance on this show. And regardless of whether or not the Leafs win in overtime, lose in overtime, win in regulation, or lose in regulation, you know that this is a place you come to have your say. We'll take more of your calls when the Jeff Blair Show continues. On the home of Steve Dangle on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Okay, this is like, I'm old enough to remember old school Stones, but of like the kind of post-Keith Richards being arrested for stuff Stones, this is the best song. By far. After this, it kind of went down. Seriously, you could play this whole album right now from start to finish, and I'd be happy. That sound you hear, that'd be my tail wagging if you did that right now. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. I may have the tweet of the decade here. I actually want a drum roll for this. Can I get a, you know, what do you call it, timpani or whatever? It's tremendous. We're going to take your calls, by the way. Don't worry. We'll take your calls about what the biggest difference has been in the Leafs these past three games. But I made this point that I thought Leafs Nation was less delusional than it's been in the past, that the Leafs had beaten the delusion out of their fans. Drum roll, please. This from Mike Tan, whose Twitter handle is MCLT70. Hopefully, delusional Leafs fans haven't moved on to become delusional Raptors fans. I think that's a pretty good tweet. I think it's pretty good. Hopefully, delusional Leafs fans haven't moved on to become delusional Raptors fans. They all love my listeners. Bruce in Georgetown, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Three pretty good games for the Leafs. Couple of wins, OT loss to Sydney and the Penguins. What's been the biggest difference?
Well, what I like best about the biggest last night's game was that they gave up the goal in the first minute and didn't feel sorry for themselves like they usually do. They actually realized that's a 60-minute game when they work and they grind and got themselves back into the game. And the second thing that was a big difference is having a fourth line with Lupo and David Booth instead of McLaren and Colton Orr.
Mm. Well, they didn't have McLaren and Orr earlier in the year, but neither did they have Booth and Clarkson. Neither did they have Booth and Lupo earlier in the year. Lupo was there, but then got hurt, and Booth hasn't played from the start of the year. But I think the one thing that was really noticeable last night, you're right, that fourth line and Randy Carlyle's willingness to use that fourth line at times, I thought, tilted the balance in favor of the Leafs. I still thought, honestly, I thought Santarelli, Komarov, and Nazem Kadri were terrific. I really did. I think that maybe has been the Leafs' best line in the past three games. And I don't know what you do with Lupul, Smith, and Booth. I don't think Trevor Smith can keep up to the pace of the game. I don't know where that line goes, but you're right. Last night they did have depth, but I'm going to go beyond the forwards. I was really impressed last night by the way the Leafs defense corps played. I thought to a man, they played really well. First game without Roman Polak, who does an awful lot of the dirty work in the Leafs' own end. And I thought they played really well in the second and third period in particular. I was really impressed with what I saw from the Leafs defense corps. I think the Leafs forward unit, and obviously that's a good first line they have. It's a second line, I think, of Komarov's line, whatever you want to call them, second or third line, wherever they are in the pecking order. Very good line. Very useful. But I was really impressed by the defense pairings last night. I thought all three of them played extremely well. and were noticeable when they had to be noticeable. Rocky and Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's been the biggest difference with the Leafs in these past three games?
I really believe it's chemistry. Like, if you notice how this team works, there's days that they don't get along for some reason, and then there's days that they try to fix it up, and then they start winning games after you, if you notice game by game. Because before, earlier in the season, they were losing by massive amounts. And then if you notice, when they faced Pittsburgh the first time, they lost by a lot. And yesterday, if you see in the game, the game went to overtime, and the Leafs made a good push at it. And I really believe that this team is a playoff team at the end of the day, if they can keep it up like this. Like, guys like Lupo, he's also a difference maker as well, because he's been a proven player, even though he's an injury-prone player. But if they can stay healthy and keep their chemistry intact, they really can be a playoff team. And they can surprise teams, I would believe.
All right, Marky from Rockham. That's Marky from Rockham, Travis. We're going to call him Marky from Rockham now. Marky Mark from Rockham instead of Rocky from Markham. But you can't, you've also got to take a look at the introduction of Lupel and Booth last night. This is two pretty quick players. One, a real good offensive player. The other guy hasn't been the offensive player he was a couple of years ago. But it's not like Randy Carlyle's fourth line last night was a couple of AHL scrubs thrown together, you know, with a journeyman. That's a pretty good fourth line to have. And I think the speed of Lupel and Booth created some matchup issues at times for the Penguins. And again, I don't know how long Randy Carlyle's going to keep these line combinations together. I would think if I'm Randy Carlyle, I'd be really hard-pressed to move Nazem Kadri off the line he's on right now. If Nazem Kadri's not going to get me any goals, but is willing to do the stuff he's done with Leo Komarov and Santarelli, I'm willing to keep him in that line. It's a very useful line. I cannot say enough about Leo Komarov. I just can't. Very quickly, Dan in Richmond Hill, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's been the biggest difference in the Leafs these past three games?
Well, I've noticed they're playing with heart, first of all. Second of all, they're moving their feet, which puts them in the right position at the right time. Second of all, Kadri is playing with grit. You see him hitting, you see him grinding on the boards, and that's the piece that I find is what the difference is between the Leafs are playing the way they're playing right now.
Dan, I appreciate the call. You sounded out of breath there. I hope you're okay. Maybe I just have that effect on people. They get excited. Kadri's been a lot more noticeable. I still need offense from him. On this team, I need offense from him. But if he isn't going to contribute in that aspect of the game, then I'll take what he's given me the past three games. It's not enough to commit long-term to the guy. It's not enough to convince me that the Leafs are getting the best they can absolutely get out of Nazem Kadri. But he's been noticeably good in other aspects of the game, playing alongside Santarelli and Komarov. And I know Komarov may be that. You see guys like this in hockey. He may be that guy that he may be a fixer. The guy that you just throw in a line that needs fixing, or the guy that you pair up with a player who needs fixing, who isn't playing that well. You throw them together for a couple of games. They get in a bit of a role, then you yank them off the line and bring somebody else into play beside Komarov. He's been a hugely useful player for the Toronto Maple Leafs. While the Leafs lost last night, the Raptors beat the Atlanta Hawks 13-2. The worst sports city in the United States, Atlanta, by far. Worst crowds, by far. That building, like a mausoleum. That building is worse than the ACC during a Leafs game. Nonetheless, the Raptors fashioned a very businesslike win, got their points, got out of town. They're 13-2, playing the Dallas Mavericks tomorrow night at the Air Canada Center. Eric Smith is the radio play-by-play voice of the Raptors in Sportsnet 590. The Fan, and Eric Smith will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.